Amen. I'm going to read one verse of scripture here tonight in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse number 12. You'll turn there with me. The Lord wants to advance His kingdom. Yes, He does. He wants the kingdom of God to be moving forward. When He said, I will build my church, He took responsibility for the church. I will build my church. He took responsibility for it. He identified who was the owner. Belongs to Him. It's His church. And He's taken the responsibility to build His church. And also, He's taken the responsibility to defend His church. Gates of hell will not be able to stop it. But by the power of God, the church of Jesus Christ moves forward. Amen. And I certainly want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a hindrance to the progress of the kingdom. But I want to be a part of building it and to be walking in step with the purpose of God. We talked about this morning that even persecution can advance the church. You know, we all, I think, are very much aware of the fact that trouble and adversity, if you allow the grace of God to help you in your trouble, that you can even gain and learn and even benefit during times of challenge and difficulty. And that's the wonderful thing about the promises of God and the faithfulness of God, that He's with us no matter what we go through. I was thinking about the Parkers, Dave and Jeannie Parker. I don't know how long ago it's been, maybe a year, year and a half ago, that they started a church up in the northern part of the Dayton area. And they have services on Sunday, just kind of they share a building with another church. And then also have a midweek service. But they started off with just a few people. And they didn't have any musicians, really. And so their youngest daughter, Jessica, had learned a few chords on the piano. And it might have been 2 years ago. I don't know. It's been maybe a year to 2 years ago. But she knew just a few chords on the piano, and she was all they had, and she was under pressure to perform. And you know what happens when you're forced into doing something that you don't know how to do, and you're asking God, please help me through it. Now, after a couple of years or whatever it's been, Jessica's starting to develop into a very nice piano playing all kinds of nice little chords and sounding good. Sometimes we are advantaged by pressure, aren't we? We're put into situations that we may not feel all that comfortable with, but if we allow God and the grace of God to work in our life, He can do some wonderful things. And we read to you there in the book of Acts chapter 7 and 8 about Stephen and how that he was martyred. But even in his martyrdom, that the church was purified and the church pushed out and went to regions and preached the gospel in places where they more than likely would have never, ever had before. Felt comfortable doing that, especially among the Samaritans. But revival came to Samaria as a result of the persecution that came upon the church, and great power came upon the church as they stepped out and advanced the kingdom of God. Praise God. In good times and in not such good times, it doesn't make any difference. He's the builder of the church. He's the advancer of the kingdom of God. And if we just would allow Him by His mercy, by His grace, to empower us and equip us, then He can do some great and mighty things, even in adverse times. and circumstances. Praise God. So we want to see the kingdom of Christ advanced. Now that kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, is that place where Christ reigns. That's where he rules. So we really, what we want to do is we want to expand the border of where God, you see, your life, if you're a Christian, then you've dedicated yourself to him, then he's the Lord, he's the king, the ruler of your life. And that's wonderful, but he's called us as a body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to advance his kingdom, to spread out further, to take new territories, to reach out and to advance his kingdom, to make it bigger, to make the place that he rules bigger. And we know that the world is under the control of Satan. He's the god of this world. And he's controlling a lot of things in this world today. But he does not have any authority in the church. He has no authority in your life. He has no right to step in to your life and to take any ground or to take any territory. Now, he wants to, and he will attempt to, but as believers, we are to maintain the rule of Christ in our life. Amen. He is the Lord of our life. So the kingdom is that place where Christ rules. And for those who reject him, they're rejecting his right to rule over them. He's not going to come in and take over. He's not going to push his way in. The Lord only comes where he is welcomed. Amen. He only comes where he is given the right to come in and given the invitation to come in and to be the Lord of your life. Amen. So people that reject the Lord, they reject his right to rule over their life. But we want to advance his kingdom. We want to expand the borders, amen, of his territory and his domain in this world. Amen. We want to see his kingdom advance. Let's read a verse here. We talked about persecution, advancing the kingdom this morning, and tonight we want to look at it from a little different perspective. And this is Matthew 11 and verse number 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The words of Jesus himself, he says, from the time that John the Baptist stepped on the scene until now, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the kingdom of God is moving forward, taking territories and is expanding through force, through this kingdom of God, through the power of God. The violent are taking it by force, or they're moving forward. They're taking new territories because they're aggressively moving forward for God. Now this started, Jesus said, this all started in the days of John the Baptist. From that time until now, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. There were those that were opposing it, rejecting it, and religious leaders and all kinds of rulers that were rejecting it and turning away from it. But John was preaching the kingdom of heaven is coming, and the kingdom was suffering violence, and the violent were taking it by force. Now, this had been prophesied that John would step on the scene. There had been 400 years approximately of no prophetic voice. 400 years of silence, no word from the Lord. Can you imagine that? Just think with me, how long of a span of time that was, that there was no prophetic word from the Lord. That's as long as the history of our country. No word from the Lord. A long, dark, dark time where there was no prophet of God. There was just void, emptiness, just a spiritual vacuum, I guess, that was going on. And when John stepped on the scene, he was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the last two verses of the Old Testament. Amen. Malachi 4 and 5 and 6, the last two verses of the last book of the Old Testament, just before the silent time came. Here's the word of Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, of course, speaking of John the Baptist, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So whenever Jesus said, from the time of John the Baptist, whenever he stepped on the scene until now, there has been this effort to stop the kingdom, and then there have been those who will not allow that to happen, and they're moving forward, and they're taking the kingdom by force. Praise God. And it started with the ministry of John. And let me just mention a couple of things here tonight that I see in this verse of Scripture, I think, that relate to the advancing of the kingdom of God. The first thing is there was a God-called and God-anointed messenger and ministry. And if there is to be this kind of a desire for God and people taking the kingdom by force, then there is the recognition that God raises up those who are messengers of the word of the Lord. And he uses people to accomplish this, just as he used John as the prophet. Can you imagine, after 400 years of no word from God and no messenger to come, they were dependent upon prophetic utterances and the words of these prophets. This was before, they didn't have all of the scriptures, and they had, certain parts of the law of God and certain parts. But this was, this was a time when there was a void. There was a need. There was an emptiness that was there. And years and years and generations of no word from the Lord. Can you imagine the hunger that there was? And when John stepped on the scene, the Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Whenever Mary came into his mother's house when she was expecting John, and she gave the announcement that she was the mother of the Messiah, that the baby, John himself, leapt in her womb. And just at the message that Jesus was coming, this was a special person. This was a special messenger who was coming forth, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Amen. Remember, his father had been given the announcement. Zechariah had a lot hard time believing it, and he went through a lot that I won't go through. I won't go through all the details of it here, but he went through a lot of circumstances because he just had a hard time believing that all this was going to come to pass. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, the angel of the Lord had appeared to his father, describing the kind of character that John was going to be. He said, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This man, John, this prophet, John, was no ordinary person. He was no ordinary man, but he represented the messengers who would follow after him, those that would proclaim the word of the Lord, those that God would use down through the generations. Do you know that entire nations have been saved from destruction just because God would raise up preachers of the gospel? I think most people are aware of the fact that England was literally saved from the French through the ministry of John and Charles Wesley. There have been entire nations that have been preserved and protected because of those preachers of the gospel who stood up. Our nation has been blessed from its very beginning. God has used and raised up preachers of the gospel who have turned the nation and brought them back to an awakening and to spiritual things. Men like Jonathan Edwards, men like Charles Finney, and others that we could name here tonight, that God used them. And they had the hand of the Lord upon them, and they turned things. They turned things around. Do you know that God uses messengers of God? He uses preachers of the gospel. I think that most of you here tonight could give testimony that there have been preachers of the gospel in your life and in the years of your Christian experience, that God has used them and they have affected your life. Not only here, but for all of eternity, you have been affected because of various ones, various preachers of the gospel. Amen. Oh, I thank God for people that God has raised up in my life from the time I was a young child. Preachers who stood up and they preached without fear. They preached with an anointing. They preached a word from heaven. And it changed my life. It had that kind of an effect upon me that it turned my direction away from some of the other things that I would have pursued. But instead, the word of the Lord has come forth and it has affected my life. Amen. And all those who would follow in the steps of John the Baptist. From the time of John the Baptist is what Jesus said. His ministry was important. You know, messengers, ministers, preachers of the gospel, the Bible calls them a gift to the church. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. They are a gift to the body of Christ. And you recognize that whenever God uses them to influence you or to help you or to encourage you and lift you up in your time of need. God uses a messenger as he used John the Baptist. Amen. His life was, his birth was miraculous. His life, his ministry was miraculous. His commitment to God, he had vowed to God. That's the reason why he was that voice coming out of the wilderness. He lived in the wilderness. He was separated from the world. He didn't allow the world to influence him and to stop him. He was just the pure truth that was being preached and proclaimed. And that's why there was such an attraction to him. Amen. The Bible says that they came from the city and all of Jerusalem and Judea and all the region about Jordan, all came to hear this man. Matthew's gospel describes his ministry. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. I mean, he was a peculiar guy. I've noticed over the years that there's a lot of preachers of the gospel that have big impact on lots of people. Sometimes they're even a little bit peculiar. Sometimes they even have a little bit of a strange way about them, but somehow God puts his hand upon them and uses them and blesses them and anoints them to proclaim the word of the Lord. Thank God for preachers. Amen. Thank God for the messengers of God's word who have an influence and an impact upon our life. And the kingdom of God advances whenever there are those God-called and God-anointed messengers of truth. then the kingdom can advance. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I have sat in services over the years of my life. I have sat in meetings where one service and one sermon literally veered my direction. I heard a message, I heard the truth, and it had such an effect upon me that it turned my direction. Praise God. Thank God for messengers of the Word of God that have that kind of an influence and an impact upon our life. And the kingdom of God advances when there are those who declare the pure Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The scripture here describes some of the things about John's ministry. It says he was great in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't say anything about man's approval. As a matter of fact, he was rejected. He was great in the sight of the Lord. That was, God give us more men who are great in the eyes of the Lord, that they have God's approval. They may not have everybody else's approval, but they have God's approval. And it says that he would neither drink wine nor strong drink. He was separated. He was a separated. He was a man of God. He was a holy man of God. He was not entangled in the world. He didn't partake of the things of this world. He was separated. John's ministry was such that he had the approval of God, and he was separated from the influences of the world. Amen. Thank God for godly holiness, preachers of the gospel over the years who love God and they love His Word and they proclaim the truth, even though it was sometimes unpleasant to some to have to hear it, but it was the truth, and it sometimes cut very deep, but it accomplished what it was sent to accomplish. Amen. Preacher that was separated, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Amen. And you know, when you're under the ministry of someone that is filled with the Holy Ghost, it has an impact on your life. You sense it's more than just the words that are being spoken. You sense that this is a work of the Holy Spirit. You sense that the Spirit of God is communicating while that person is preaching the Word of God. You sense your spirit is bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. And you recognize this is from God. This is God using this individual to speak directly to me. Amen. Praise God. And so he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a mistake to attempt to preach. I listen to lots of preachers, and sometimes I get just started into it, and I just think, you know, what they're saying is true, but it's just a dead letter. It's just so dead. There's no life here. There's no anointing here. No work of the Spirit of God. And I've been in meetings where preachers have just walked to the pulpit, and I would sense the presence of God, sense the anointing of the presence of God. I remember just a few years ago in Beaumont, Texas, when David Wilkerson stepped to the pulpit to preach. That place was packed full of people, and there was just this eerie feeling, a sense of the Spirit of God was falling upon that place. I've had that kind of an experience many times over the years in services where I sense the heaviness and the weightiness of the presence of God upon the preacher of the Word of the Lord. And it has an impact because it's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he was great in the sight of the Lord. He was a messenger that had God's approval. He was a separated preacher, John was. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 16 it says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." That's the kind of a ministry that has such an impact that it changes lives. It turns the direction in the hearts of people. It causes them to turn to the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. And I've witnessed this a few times over the years. People just, like, it's like they're ready to get in the altar. They're so anxious to get to the altar because God has already been talking to them and dealing with their heart. And God was already turning their heart by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the kind of a ministry. The kingdom of God is advanced whenever there is an anointed God-called messenger. Amen. May God raise up many May God raise up many all across this nation to realize that the most important thing that can happen to this nation is not just politicians who have good morals. Oh, that would be wonderful. But also, if there would be men of God who would stand for the truth, who just had God's approval, were separated from the world, and that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and their ministry had an impact. It turned people's hearts and turned people's lives. That was the ministry of John the Baptist. And that kind of a ministry advances God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Number two, advancing the kingdom from this verse of scripture is a hunger and a desire for the truth. I mean, an intense hunger and desire for the truth. That seems to be what is being described here in this verse of scripture, that the violent are taking it by force. It's like that they are there is a such a void and such a longing, and it's been so long since they have heard the word of the Lord that they're flocking to John the Baptist. They're out in the wilderness and they're repenting, and lives are being changed because there's this great hunger for God. Amen. There will be, I believe, an advancing of the kingdom of God if we develop a greater hunger for the things of God. Amen. And it's obvious, it's really simple to understand what happens and why that the hunger is not there. It's because your hunger has been satisfied by other things. It's like little children who eat a bunch of candy before dinner and they're not ready for dinner. They're not hungry when dinner time comes because they've filled up with all kinds of sweets and other things. And so they're not interested in what they really need now. And that's really a very good depiction of a lot of circumstances, a lot of Christian people, a lot of churches, and that their life is just so filled up with other things that they have no hunger for God. So as a result, there's no interest in the Bible. There's no interest in church. There's no interest in prayer. There's no interest in working for God and using your gifts for God. There's just no interest. There's no hunger. There's no desire that's there. And to see that return to your life, if you would just think back to some times in your past experience with God. Some of you have been saved years and years, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years. Some of you have been saved a long, long time. And can you remember a time in your past history of your Christian experience when there was just a hunger for more of God? And you really wanted to hear from God, and you wanted to spend time with the Lord, and you wanted to be used of God. There was this hunger and this desire that you had to be used of the Lord. If there was a time in your past when you had that kind of zeal and interest in the things of God, but tonight, oh, so many other things have just come in, and you know, we've replaced the best things for just good things. A lot of the things that we fill up our life with are not necessarily sinful things, but a lot of them, these things are just, they're just good things that really don't matter that much. Amen. They're not sins, but the book of Hebrews, the lesson this morning, it's the weights and the sins. Sometimes the weights and the sin beset us, or they surround us, they control us, and they get such a hold on our life that all we think about is these mundane things. We get our minds so fixed upon what we're doing on Monday, what we're doing on Tuesday, and what we've filled up our life with, that we don't have any interest in the ministry, have no interest in working for God, very little interest in prayer, very little interest in the Word of God. Church becomes a burden to you because you've just filled up your life and you've expended all of your strength and your energy on other things. Amen. The kingdom of God advances when we have a hunger for God, a hunger for God, a desire for the truth. One of the ways that that's developed in our life is just taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Taste and see. And sometimes little children, they don't even want, little babies, they don't want what they need.
You can put it in their mouth and they'll spit it out. They're not interested in it. They don't realize the benefit of it. But after a while, if you just stay at it and they taste it, then they begin to acquire a taste for it. They begin to take it and receive it and benefit from it. The same thing is true of our hunger for the things of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Get into the Word like you have never before. Spend time with the Lord in the presence of the Lord in ways that you haven't before. Purpose in your heart, you're going to put God first, and you're not going to allow anything to rob you of your desire for the things of God. A lot of years have gone by, 400 years of silence. There's such a vacuum and such a desire and such a hunger. And that's true many times of new Christians, young converts, that when they get saved, they're just so hungry for the things of God. I've known of lots of new Christians that they were looking for a place to go to church on Monday night and on Tuesday night and on Wednesday night. They were just hungry for the things of God, and they were looking for someplace else to go, or help me with a Bible study. Help me to see how can I grow in the things of the Lord. Because they have that hunger for the things of God. Amen. Amen. If there is the development of a hunger for the things of God, then the kingdom will advance. One more thing in this verse of Scripture, and that is that by our forcefully pressing in to the things of God, that there's more desire and there's more power in our pressing into the things of God than the outward forces that are pressing against us. The kingdom of God is coming, the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and that outward force that's trying to hinder and trying to stop, but those who are able to make sure that the inward desire, the inward force is stronger and overcomes the opposing force. Amen. That means there's going to have to be a resolute determination in your mind, in your heart, a made up mind that I am going to press into the things of God. Amen. You're going to have to make up your mind, because you've got all kinds of adversaries, and the devil just about every day comes up with some new temptation and some new way to distract you and to keep you from the things of the Lord. But there has to be this inner force, this inner desire that's stronger than the force on the outside that's pressing against you. Amen. So that you can overcome that opposing force of the enemy. Hallelujah. So it's only those who are determined, those that are violently determined, resolute, who are going to be able to press into it, even though that there's the outward pressing against you and attacking you and working against you. But he that is within me, that spirit that's within you, is greater than the spirit that is working from the outside of the world. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. A determination, a made-up mind. We are going to press into the things of the Lord with our whole heart. Hallelujah. God can help us to advance His kingdom in your own life, and right here in our local church, local congregation, to see things stirred up among us. Greater desire, a greater compelling desire than that force that's working against us in the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I know that it's your kingdom. And I know, Lord, that you are at work in these last days. Even though there is trouble and darkness and all kinds of opposition in this world, Lord, I know that greater is He that is in me, that is in us, than He that is in the world. Hallelujah. Lord, there is a greater force within us than that force that's opposing us. And I just pray, oh God, that we would not allow anything to stop us or to hinder us, but to understand, Lord, that you have provided for your people and for the church all that we're in need of. I thank you, Lord, that there are those with a hunger, with a zeal, with a great desire, Lord, to press in to the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, may they be blessed. May they be rewarded for their prayers, for their determination. Lord, for their seeking out of the things of God. Move, Lord, among every one of us. Help us to develop, Lord, a desire, a hunger for the things of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.